Back in 1936, this jar was discovered in Iraq. And shortly after its discovery, someone posited that it might have been an early battery, a form of galvanic cell. A galvanic cell uses the process of oxidation and the related process of reduction to generate a flow of electrons. Two metals will be used, in our case iron and copper, and one metal will be designated the anode, which will be the negative pole of the cell, and the other the cathode, which will be the positive. Both metals are submerged in electrolytic solution. The point on the cathode where it meets a solution will cause the free electrons in the solution to be drawn to the cathode in a process called reduction, and this causes the cathode to slowly get plated in any metals that are in the solution. In turn, the anode reacts by shedding some of its electrons in a process called oxidation. If the solution has metal dissolved in it, then that metal may accumulate on the cathode. The more reactive metals are things like iron and nickel and magnesium, and those ones all fall to the bottom of the little battery there as slime, as sludge. But you know what collects on the cathode? Gold, silver, copper, mercury, but mercury can be melted off. Copper can be melted off, and you end up with gold and silver together. But where would they find a solution so loaded with those precious metals? That's actually easy, man. It would be the runoff from a mine, right? That's already really acidic. It's going to have those precious metals in it. And the only noble metals that you're going to find in most ancient mines were gold, silver, mercury, and copper. I don't think that they used these for electricity. I think these were used the same way a gold miner would use a gold pan. It's to get metal that was too small to access with the hand.